The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
Coming up next on A New Beginning, a special broadcast with Pastor Greg Laurie on how believers should respond to the current challenge facing us with the coronavirus. Stay tuned.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Well, we're glad you're along today for A New Beginning. We're preempting what we originally scheduled for today to bring some special encouragement in light of what's going on in our country and all around the world right now. Pastor Greg Laurie is here in the studio with us. And, you know, Pastor Greg, by 2020, we thought we'd have flying cars.
Yes.
But no, here we are teaching people how to wash their hands.
It's really true, Dave. We have this, how do we describe it? Well, it's been called a pandemic now.
Yeah.
And it's real. And it's highly contagious, and we all know about it.
Yeah.
It's called the coronavirus or COVID-19. And in every time you turn around, there's a new development, new cases of it. It seems like it originated in China. It spread dramatically through Europe. We're closing borders. I mean, listen to some of these headlines just on one news feed. World on edge. Market bloodbath. Stocks crater. Oil plunges, Italy in lockdown, Norway shuts country. Anxiety grips countries across the world. We're past the point of containment. Well, I'll tell you what's happening is in some ways the fear of this virus is maybe more scary than the virus itself because there's just viral fear in the air right now. In fact, one expert, I read him being quoted in an article. He said, we're in this fear state, but the fear state turns down the immune system. When you spread fear to your friends, it's almost like spreading germs to them. You wouldn't want people to do that to you. We shouldn't do that to other people. So I have a message for America and anybody listening to this broadcast, wherever you are. I want to quote Jesus, do not be afraid. Now, I didn't say don't be cautious. I didn't say don't be practical. But I'm saying to you, fear is not going to help. We don't have to be afraid. The last time I checked, God was still on the throne. He still loves us. And he's going to work through this. So we need to get perspective with all of this information we're being bombarded with. And unfortunately, some are politicizing the information. They're distorting facts. That only contributes more to this viral fear in the air. And I think we can have a calm in the middle of the storm as followers of Jesus. And I think we have a very important message right now to give to our culture.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think you're dead on when you say that it's being blown out of proportion. I mean, when you look at the number of people who have been infected in our country, you know, and compare that to the normal flu, influenza, this season, 34 million people have got the normal flu, 350,000 hospitalizations, 20,000 deaths about the normal flu, which we don't pay any attention to.
Well, I think what's unique about the coronavirus is it's highly contagious.
Yeah.
And this is unusual about it. It's not like if you get it, you will die from it. If you're elderly, you're more vulnerable to it, but it is more contagious than other things we've dealt with in the past. But I've talked to doctors about this, and one doctor told me many people have had this and have gotten over it already.
Yeah,
it's possible someone listening to me right now has already had the coronavirus. So, you know, what the government is trying to do with these drastic measures is they're trying to stop it from spreading as much as possible. There's going to be a peak to this, and our experts have told us we haven't hit the peak yet, and then it begins to go down. And so we're trying to contain this so it doesn't just keep going up, up, and up like it's done in other places. So, you know, I came up with a list of five things that I think we can do as Christians. They all happen to start with the letter P. I am a preacher, after all, so sometimes I I think that way. But the first P on the list is just be practical. And, you know, listen to what the doctors tell you. I've become a great hand washer. Not that I wasn't before, but I'll tell you, I wash my hands all the time and I don't shake hands. And, you know, we Christians, we're so loving. We want to shake each other's hands and we want to hug. Honestly, it'd just be a good idea if we didn't do that right now. A doctor told me that how many germs we carry on a hand and how much are exchanged in an average handshake. It was an astounding number. And he said it's much less if you fist bump somebody or they have other ways you can greet people or just greet them. Say, hello, how are you? So avoid handshaking, obviously. Engage in vigorous hand washing. If you're sick, stay home. And I would add to this list, don't drive under the speed limit in the fast lane, especially if you're in a Prius. I know it has nothing to do with the coronavirus, but I wanted to just get that in.
This has been a public service announcement.
So that's P number one. Be practical. Listen to what the experts are telling you. They're talking about maintaining social distance. Try not to be in close proximity with people if you can avoid that. So that's number one, be practical. Number two, be prayerful. And this is the most important of all. And this can't be emphasized enough. We need to be praying. We need to pray for anybody who is infected that the Lord would touch and heal them. We need to pray for our medical professionals who are on the front lines of this pandemic that God will protect them and give them wisdom. We need to pray for our president, President Trump, Vice President Pence, who's been tasked with this group of people to deal with this, Secretary Ben Carson and others, that God would give them wisdom. Because, listen, regardless of your political persuasion, this is not a time for partisan bickering.
Yeah.
COVID-19 transcends race, gender, and party, and this virus doesn't know any boundary. So we need to pray together. In fact, Jesus said, if any two of you will agree on earth concerning anything you ask my Father in heaven, he'll do it for you. So we need to be praying. You know, Dave, I'm reminded of an event that happened that maybe people have heard of called the Miracle of Dunkirk. You know, there was a movie called Dunkirk that told the amazing story, but they left the miracle part out, which is unfortunate. But during World War II, when Adolf Hitler attacked France and Belgium, the Allied troops in his path were surrounded by the German army on three sides and backed up against the sea. And it was the intent of Hitler and his armies to wipe out 300,000 people. And a King George called a national day of prayer. Churches in England were overflowing with people praying. And suddenly, a weather front moved in, and Hitler stopped his attack and waited. And during those hours when the weather was not working in his favor, they were able to come in with a literal armada of sea craft, large and small, and evacuate 300,000 people. Now, you can call that a coincidence. I call that an answer to prayer. I think it's time for us to pray. Do we need a national day of prayer? I think we do. I think we need to be praying that God would protect our country and that this thing would not spread as it has spread elsewhere.
Absolutely. You know, for the believer, on the one hand, life is precious. You know, we want to keep ourselves and keep our families safe. But on the other hand, we also want to cast our cares on the Lord, for he cares for us. So we've got these two sort of polar opposites pulling against each other. We want to honor life and respect our safety. And on the other hand, we want to trust God for our safety. Help us, as a pastor, help us find the right balance between those two opposing forces.
Life is a gift from God. We should do everything to live a healthy life, a strong life, a productive life. And but then we have to recognize that we have a job to do as followers of Jesus Christ. That one passage that sums it up by Paul, where he says, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. That doesn't mean there isn't a place for bodily exercise and health and those things. But at the same time, we recognize the most important thing is the spiritual. And that brings me to my third point, my third P. So number one, be practical. Number two, be prayerful. Number three, be proclaiming. Proclaiming what? Proclaiming the message of hope, because people are scared and we have confidence. People have questions, but as Christians, we have answers, you see. So I feel this is an opportunity for us to come in to the vacuum with the message of the gospel. They're being bombarded with bad news on the newscasts, so we need to give them good news from the gospel. And what is the good news? Well, there's a God in heaven who loves them. God hears prayers. God answers prayers. And worrying doesn't make this better. In fact, the Bible says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God will fill our heart and mind in Christ Jesus, will guard us. And, you know, here at Harvest, we want to seize this moment to speak to scared people and tell them the truth of the gospel. So we're really ramping up our online presence. We already have a strong online presence, but we're being really aggressive in doing our services online now. People can go to our ministry site and they'll see a mention of Harvest at Home, which means you can be a part of our Sunday morning services now. And we have a chat room that you can join in and a place to bring your prayer requests in. And we're starting Facebook groups up where people can help, almost like the equivalent of a home Bible study. And so we're saying, okay, right now, maybe we won't be meeting in our buildings because some churches aren't able to do that. We had closed our services last Sunday in our building. We'll see what happens this coming Sunday. But my point is, we can still meet together as God's people. And as we're seeking to reach out and use this as a ministry opportunity, I would like to ask our listeners to help us by praying for us and supporting us financially, because we can go into some spaces we don't normally go into with the life-changing message of the gospel, because there are just a lot of people right now that are absolutely frightened and terrified, and they need to hear the words of Jesus when he says, don't be afraid.
You know, panic has become a real problem. You know, we've seen videos of people stockpiling huge packages of toilet paper.
Yeah, what are they going to do with all that toilet paper?
I have no idea. It seems like it's for no apparent reason other than they see others hoarding it. It's like, I guess I better get down there and get some.
Yes.
How can we just be a voice of reason in such an unreasonable time?
Well, that actually brings me to my fourth point. So number one.
Sounds like I'm setting you up here, doesn't it?
Well, it does a little bit, but you didn't all the points. Number one, be practical. Number two, be prayerful. Number three, be proclaiming. Number four, we need perspective. As I mentioned earlier, the last time I checked, God is still in control. I'm being facetious. Yeah. He's always in control. And God is bigger than the coronavirus. And he's bigger than any challenge you might be facing today. Fact is, if God were small enough for our minds, he wouldn't be big enough for our needs. So instead of worrying, we need to be praying that the Lord would help us to have perspective on all of this. And the Lord is going to get us through it. It's a storm. It's a storm that has hit the United States of America. But it's a storm that will have a beginning, middle, and an end. I don't know where we are in the storm, but this is going to end. Do you remember how devastated our country was in the wake of 9/11?
Oh, yeah.
It was just so scary, and we all were so impacted by it. And everyone was living in fear, and we got through it. And we're going to get through this. But I want you to remember something else about 9/11. Churches were packed. People were praying. So let's be praying, and let's be pulling together as God's people. I love the statement of Jesus when he says in Luke 12:32, don't fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And, you know, it's interesting. Fear not, little flock, is what our Lord says. And he's comparing this to a sheep, and a sheep is a very nervous little creature, easily spooked, skittish by nature. Kind of reminds me of a lot of people right now. And so Jesus says, fear not, little flock. So don't be afraid, he's saying. We have our good shepherd watching over us. But then he says, it's his Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We have a Father in heaven who is sovereign. A Father in heaven who is in control, a Father in heaven who is watching out. But then Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our Father is a king. Our Father is in control of all things. And I believe he could turn this virus back if we would get together and pray and ask for his divine intervention, because there's nothing too hard for the Lord.
You mentioned, you know, fear not, little flock. I'm reminded of the fact that you've got a book called God's Answer to Fear, Worry, and Anxiety.
That's right.
And that might be just the resource that our listener really needs to to quiet their troubled heart. And if they're interested in finding out more about that, they can go online to store.harvest.org. Again, it's called God's Answer to Fear, Worry, and Anxiety. Let me ask you, this I think is the $64,000 question. How might God be able to use us personally in this time of uncertainty? You know, this didn't catch the Lord by surprise.
No.
And what a great thing if the Lord could use us to advance his kingdom during a time when people are looking for answers, they're looking for hope,
yeah.
And we have the hope they're looking for. So what do we do?
Yeah, well, I think that this is a moment that can be a wake-up call from heaven. You know, people have asked me, are these signs of the last days? Is the coronavirus one of the plagues spoken of in Scripture?
Hmm.
Well, I would say this. We know there is coming a time on the earth that would be called the Great Tribulation Period. There's going to be pestilence and plagues and all kinds of things going on, massive warfare. That period has not started yet. That's a 7-year period that will begin with the emergence of the Antichrist. However, the Lord said that as we get closer to his return, it'll be similar to a woman having labor pains. So when a woman is ready to give birth, the labor pains get closer and closer together. So I think as we see these types of events happening closer and closer together, i.e. conflict in the Middle East, a virus like this, earthquakes, other phenomena the Bible clearly speaks of, that would be an indication we're getting closer to that time, the Great Tribulation Period. So what does the Bible say? When you see these things begin to happen, freak out. No, it says, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. So as Christians, we need to look up to the Lord. And we know that the Lord is in control. We know that the Lord is going to get us through this. And I think it could also be, Dave, a wake-up call for Christians. You know, if all of a sudden I find out that I can't go meet in the sanctuary as I often do on Sunday, that is, if I don't have something else I want to do instead, and suddenly I realize what a blessing, what a privilege it is to be able to meet with God's people and how much I value them. I think it's a wake-up call for us to get serious about praying for our nation. What if the Lord used us to wake up Americans and we had a spiritual awakening as a result? You know, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible, of course, and it says, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Could the Lord cause this coronavirus to somehow, in its impact on America, work together for good? I believe he could. If a God is praying more, if a God is sharing our faith more, if a God is valuing the church more, then I think that would be a good thing that came despite a bad thing. And I just have one point left. Number 5 also starts with P, and that is be prepared. And by that I mean be prepared to meet God. You know, the reality is very few people are going to get this virus. And of those that get it, very small percentage will die of it. But having said that, here's, you know, just kind of a reality, is that 100 years from now, everybody listening to my voice will be dead. We'll all be dead. So we need to not say, well, if we die, no, actually, it's when you die, when I die, we will all die. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So we want to be prepared for eternity and make sure that our life is right with God. So I would hope that anyone listening to us right now would know that if death came, I mean, not necessarily through this coronavirus, through any way it would come, because it does come to all of us, as I said, that we would simply be ready to meet God. The Bible says to prepare to meet God, prepare to meet your maker. So we need to be prepared, because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And then as followers of Jesus, we want to help other people to be prepared as well. That's our job. That's a great commission. So join us here at Harvest as we try to get that message to more people. But let me close by just offering an invitation to anyone listening who is maybe just a little freaked out by all of this. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so scared right now. And I'm afraid, you know, my life may end. Well, look, God's in control of your life. And if you're a Christian, You're indestructible until God is done with you, which simply means no harm will come your way until the Lord is ready to call you home. Having said that, we need to be prepared for eternity. And if you're not sure if you would go to heaven when you die, if you're not certain that Christ is living inside of you, you can be sure now. And here's how. Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead 3 days later, is right here, right now, ready to come into your heart. He says he stands at the door and he knocks, and if we'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. So if there's someone listening to me right now that is not sure if Christ is living in them, if they're not sure that they will go to heaven when they die, if they don't feel prepared for eternity, that person, I'm talking to you now, if you need the Lord in your life, pray this simple prayer with me. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin. I turn from my sin now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward as my Savior and my Lord, as my God and my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, if you've prayed that prayer along with Pastor Greg just now, we'd like to follow up with you and send you something we call our New Believers Growth Packet. It'll answer some of the questions you might have and get you started off right in walking with the Lord. And we'll send it free of charge if you'll write to us. Again, it's the New Believers Growth Packet, and you can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300, 1-800-821-3300. Or just go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Let me ask you to pray one more time, Pastor Greg.
Yes.
Let's pray not only for those who are feeling distressed right now, our listeners who are feeling distressed, but let's maybe you can model for us how we should be praying for our nation, being praying for our president and other governmental leaders and all those working in hospitals across the country and right here in our area, offering services, offering compassion to those who are suffering right now. Mm-hmm. Could you lead us into prayer like that?
Yes, I'm reminded of the prayer of Jehoshaphat. The enemy was closing in. He didn't have any way to defend himself, and he prayed a beautiful prayer. And I think we need to pray a prayer like that. He prayed, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. So let's pray that together. Father, this coronavirus is spreading around the world. It's taking lives. But then the viral fear that accompanies it is in some ways as bad, if not worse, because people are just completely terrified. So, Lord, we're asking for divine intervention. We're praying specifically for the United States, that you would turn this virus back, that we would see the cases of people getting it would go down. Lord, give wisdom to President Trump and Vice President Pence and HUD Secretary Ben Carson and others that are working on this task force together. Help them to make the right decisions. Lord, we pray that you will protect us. I pray for anybody that has the coronavirus, Lord, that you would extend your healing hand and you would restore them to complete health. But most of all, Lord, help us to not be afraid, because you've told us to not worry about anything, but to pray about everything. And Lord, I would even ask that you would use this to wake the church up from complacency, wake the church up from apathy, and that we would realize, hey, time is short. Jesus is coming and we have a job to do. And that job, among other things, is to get the gospel out. So, Lord, use us to do that. We look to you like Jehoshaphat looked to you so many years ago, and we pray for a miracle. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, it occurs to me, Pastor Greg, that one of the most important resources we can have at our fingertips to help us in a time like this is God's Word.
That's right.
And we're offering a special edition of God's Word right now. It's your brand new Believer's Bible, the full Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And not only is it great for new Christians, but it's great for the rest of us who need some refreshment on the basics of the Christian faith, because you have so many study helps in there that help us get grounded, especially for times like this.
That's right, Dave. The New Believer's Bible, it's in hardback now. Old and New Testament. I've been working on this for years, and I'm so glad it's finally coming out. Now, somebody listening might say, well, I've heard of the New Believer's Bible. Hasn't it been around for a while? Yeah, it has, actually, for a number of years. But, in fact, 10 million people have gotten a copy of it, but we went back and redid everything. We re-edited the old notes. I added new notes. There's a lot of new material that wasn't there before. So, as they say, it's new and improved. Not the Bible, of course, but the notes that are in the New Believer's Bible. It's in the very friendly New Living Translation, which is very readable. And then there's just notes on everything you can imagine, from how to pray effectively, how to share your faith, why do Christians go through trials, hard questions that non-believers ask them, what about the afterlife, what about heaven, what about hell, what about end times events, you name it, we probably cover it in the notes of the New Believer's Bible. It'd be a great resource for you to start enjoying immediately. As they say, it's hot off the press. And we'd like to rush you a copy for your gift of any size. Again, I want to remind you that this is a critical time in America right now. And we want to seize the moment here at Harvest Ministries to bring hope to hopeless people, to bring comfort to frightened people, to bring Jesus to lost people. And you know, we're serious about evangelism. If you listen to this program, I want to see people come to Christ through this crisis. And so I'm going to ask you to be extra generous when you send that gift to us and receive your own copy of the New Believer's Bible. And I want to thank you in advance for that.
Yeah, it's such a great resource for any believer, for any home. And your generous investment right now enables us to reach out with the gospel, especially during this time when people need hope. We're using every form of outreach possible, every platform, every social media opportunity, to bring hope to people who need it. And your donation right now will make a huge difference in how far we're able to reach. So write today to A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or make your donation online at harvest.org. We're so glad you've joined us for today's special visit with Pastor Greg. And we hope you'll be along next time for more insights from God's Word, right here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.